disappointed. Disappointed with God. Why, oh God, am I suffering like this when I'm striving to please you? And this can lead to serious disappointment. And through this lesson, we are seeking to examine, to explore some of the reasons that would give us this false expectation that we, even as God's children, should be exempt from evil, should be exempt from suffering. And the hope is that understanding some of these reasons will help us to deflect, to not get to a place where we ever feel disappointed with God. And let me straight up from here remind us that the presence of evil and the presence of suffering and God's supposed non-intervention is never a question of his love. God has already demonstrated that he loves us. He gave his only begotten son. But the presence of suffering and evil is not even any indication of God's lack of power or his inability to intervene. But usually it is a factor of what is God's plan. What is God's purpose? And two, it is also a factor often. What is man's response? You see, the truth is that when God created man, he placed him in a perfect place. The very absence of sin, the very presence of sin he was saved from. But because of our own desires, we have now put ourselves in a place where we are fallen from that perfect place. And so we are really feeling the consequences of our very own action. And so we have explored over the last few weeks that among the reasons why sometimes we fail to recognize that we are not exempt, or we have this disappointment with God, is because we fail, one, to balance the scripture. And we spend time looking at that. So that we should not find ourselves in a situation where we only zero in on the triumphs that many have gone through successfully. But that we should balance that with the fact that even faithful men of God suffered, were meted the onslaught of evil, even though they were faithful men of God. We also examine that among the reasons why we sometimes get to the point where we are disappointed with God is because we are seeking immediate relief. Any challenge that we see on the horizon or anything that reaches us, we want now for that to be taken away from us in the now, in the immediate. And so we examine that there are many faithful children of God who it took time. You know, when we examine Moses, we recognize that some 40 years he was in preparation mode so that he could lead the children of Israel. We looked at Joseph and see the many downs and ups, and sometimes more downs than ups that he went through. But at the end of it, It is because God had a plan and a purpose in him. And so sometimes we feel disappointed, and sometimes we ring and echo the sentiments of those martyred, recorded in Revelation, and ask the question, how long? How long, O Lord? Because we want immediate relief. But sometimes God is working through a process with us. And so there is no need, as hard as it is, there is no need to feel disappointed with Almighty God. But not only that, we also spend some time looking at the fact that we often feel disappointed with God, or find ourselves struggling with why I'm not exempted from this evil, because we have misunderstood important texts. And we spent a lot of time looking at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and verses surrounding that, and sought to bring clarity that when we have the assured words that all things work together for good, then we need to understand what the all things are. Because all we hear sometimes is that for good. You know, everything for good. But the all things included tribulation. The all things included distress. It includes much misery, peril. People were killed. These are the all things that work together for good. So what are we saying? That we need to manage our expectation. We need to recognize that we live in an imperfect world. And though we are striving to serve God, we are not exempt. Face the reality, because we are not yet in heaven. We have fallen from that perfect place where God has set the presence of sin, the gift of choice, and what we have chosen have brought us to this place. I want, if time will permit me today, to examine two other reasons why, if we do not put them in the right perspective, we can find ourselves being disappointed with God. We can find ourselves questioning, why? Why am I not immune from suffering and evil? You know, we get a whole lot of assurance from the cross. You know, Jesus Christ indeed paid the price for our sin. The cross represents the means of salvation. And when we picture Jesus Christ, then we recognize that on the cross of Calvary, he paid a price that we could not pay. But I hasten to say to us that in the same way Jesus Christ had to carry his cross, had to take up the cross, had to face the cross, we too have our cross to take. Yes, Jesus Christ, in respect to the cross, he carried it. He had to take that cross up a hill. Not only did he take the cross, but he was nailed to the cross. Not only was he nailed to the cross, but he died on that cross of Calvary. Nailed, lifted up, he suffered and he died. The cross of Calvary is not one that we should ever forget. And I sort of want to have us reflect, even for a little while, on that cross, that old rugged cross. And the lyrics of that song is one that, if we think about it, the message is strong and real and should never be one that, when we hear it, we place scant regard for it. You know, it speaks of that hill far away. That hill far away stood an old rugged cross. You know, it's far away. You know, we are all the way here in Jamaica. You know, Jerusalem. It's far away. But not only is it far away in terms of distance and geography, but it's far away in terms of time. Because this was some 2,000 years ago. And so when the songwriter speaks about this hill, and he speaks about this cross, and he says, it's the emblem of suffering and shame. And then he goes on to say, and I love that old cross. Why would that cross be loved? Because it is where the dearest Jesus, it is where the blessed, that's Jesus, for a world of lost sinners was slain. Can we relate ourselves to this? We were the lost sinners. We were the lost that could not save ourselves. But it is not us who were slain, but it was Him, the dearest and the blessed, that was slain. And then it goes on to say, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Can we say that? I will ever be true to that. I know what that means. It means that as Christians, that we have embraced Christianity. We went the distance to say that we want to be in unison with Jesus Christ. We experience his death, his burial, and his resurrection in baptism. We made a resolution when we confessed that he is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. And we placed our allegiance with him, and we repented. We decided to make that change because we believe that he is the Son of God, having heard that he died for us. And he's now resurrected and ascended on high. Yes, so we embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, but the words in this song, you know, that I will ever be true, is a sentiment that I want to encourage all of us to hold on to. I will not be true for a few years, but I will ever be true. So I won't give up that journey that I began, but I will ever be true. Yes, there are challenges that will find us, but I will ever be true. There are things that will pull me, but to the cross I will ever be true. There are things I want to accomplish, but I will ever be true. You see, the shame and the reproach, it says, I will gladly bear. You see, and that's the relevance to the message. When we take on the cross of Jesus Christ, it will bring with it shame at times. It will bring with it reproach. But I will gladly bear it. Is this easy? No, it's not. When the evil and the suffering hits us, when we are rejected by those around us, when our peers are pulling at us, when society is dictating that this is the best way to go, but the cross of Jesus Christ says otherwise, then I must cling and hold on to the old rugged cross, to Jesus Christ. But having said all that, you know, because it's an interesting thing. Because while we must cling to the cross of Jesus Christ, oftentimes we don't recognize that we too have our cross to bear. We too need to take up our cross. You know, and the gospel tells us that over and over again. And if you can get these passages for me quickly, then that would be good. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, and chapter 10 and verse 38, we are told that Jesus himself speaking tells us that there are some things that we need to do. Read for me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples,
If any man will come after me,
let him deny himself.
And take up his cross. And follow me.
If any man will. If we are willing to come after Christ, then we have to do something. We have to take up the cross. We have to take up our cross. And the concept of take is to receive in submission. Not an easy thing, you know. It is not that it is thrust upon us and we have nothing that we can do about it, but we must be willing to take up that cross. Can we remember Jesus Christ in such a situation? Jesus Christ had the cross to bear. He knew Calvary was around the corner. And you know what Christ did? He prayed. And you know what Christ prayed for? He wished that this cup, that this cross could pass him by. But thank God, there was a greater desire. And he says, let thy will be done. And so, when we are to take up our cross, let us do so willingly. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 10, 38, the same sentiments. We're going to try to quickly just run through some of these.
And he that taketh not the cross, and follow after me, is not worthy of me.
And so again, the concept, take up the cross. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 20, Luke 9 and verse 23, and Mark 10 and verse 21, we see the same sentiments. Which one do we have?
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily.
That's Luke.
And follow me.
I sort of like how Luke puts it. You know, let him take up his cross. But not only take up his cross, but take it up daily and follow me. You know, we have any other? Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and Mark 8, 34.
Then Jesus beholding him. Loved him and said unto him,
yes,
one thing thou lackest.
You can imagine, you know, you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, yeah, man, but impress. You know, our brother Gilbert said, A++. But one thing Make you don't get the A++. One thing you lack.
Go thy way.
Go thy way.
Sell whatsoever thou hast.
Sell whatsoever thou hast.
And give to the poor.
And give it to the poor.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
And you'll have treasure in heaven. Read on.
Come, take up the cross and follow
and
me.
Come, take up
the cross.
The cross.
And follow me.
And follow me. What am I trying to get at? That even though the cross of Calvary is rich and points to what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we should never cease to proclaim the impact of the cross of Calvary, that we too have our own cross to bear. And Jesus is encouraging us that we need to take up our own cross. Take up our own cross too. And the implication of this is that it is not the expectation of God that we will be going through this life without our cross to bear. And like Jesus Christ, we have to also put ourselves in a state of readiness. We must prepare ourselves to be like Jesus Christ, rejected of men. You know, if you're still at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, I want to just highlight some things. And the truth is that we can see elements of this in all the cases that we have read. Pick up at verse 22 of Luke chapter 9.
And he was sad at that saying, and went
Luke
away.
9, 23?
Saying,
yes.
The Son of Man must...
Saying,
the Son of Man,
the Son of Man
must suffer many things.
Must suffer many things.
And be rejected of the elders.
And be rejected
of the elders.
Don't just pass over that. When Jesus Christ implored and encouraged persons to take up, to receive in submission his cross, among the things that he was pointing to is that we must be ready to be rejected of men. You know, Jesus Christ was ready to be rejected of the very elite in religion. Who are some of the persons rejected of the
elders?
The
and
elders.
Chief priests.
The chief priests.
And scribes.
The scribes. These are the persons. These, in a sense, would have been like his peers. You know, they were persons who were significant in the cause of God. The elders, the scribes. Yeah. These persons were, as it relates to religious matters, would have been up there in respect to God's business. Sometimes as we sojourn life, we are pulled in different ways by different persons. Is it a co-worker? Is it a schoolmate? It is somebody in our professional circle with whom we have to interact with. Well, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we must be prepared, like him, to be rejected by such persons. And that may be very well our own cross to bear. But we need to take that up. We need to trust in God. And here's it. When we do so, there's no guarantee that we will get what we really want. But what we do know is that whatever the outcome is when we go towards Jesus Christ, is that all these things, even the rejection, will work together for good. What do we yearn for? What do we want when we go to our beds and thoughts permeates and just keeps hitting at us? What is it that we are longing for? We must be prepared to lose that for Jesus Christ and the cross. And so sometimes when we don't get this, we have great disappointment. But I'm saying to us that whatever our cross is to bear, let us receive it in submission. Let us take up our cross and follow him. You know, I was going to jump all of this, but let me take up one more. Let's look back. Which passage are you? You are at Mark 10 still?
Luke 9.
Anyone? All right, Mark 10, 21. Read. All right, Mark 10, 21.
Mm-hmm. Then Jesus beholding him.
Then Jesus beholding him.
Loved him.
Loved him.
And said unto him.
And said unto him.
One thing thou lackest.
One thing thou lackest, he says.
Go thy way.
Yes.
Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Read on, read on.
And he was sad at that saying, and went away.
And he was sad at that?
At that saying.
At that saying.
And went away grieved.
And he went away in grief.
For he had great possessions.
Because he had great possession. And so, what we see is that the cross that we have to bear sometimes will bring grief because we have to give it up. We have to give up something that is important to us. And time will not allow me because I want to delve into some other things. But one of the things I want to encourage us with all of these passages, Matthew 16, 24, 10, 38, Luke 9:23, Mark 10:21, and Mark 8:34. When we explore all of these and their context, we're going to recognize that in every situation, it's about a rejection. We, in taking up the cross, or our own cross, is that we are going to join in the rejection that Jesus Christ himself went through. You know, in one of the passages, it talks, if you are not prepared to give up mother and father, you know, all these important relationships to us, we must be prepared in taking up our cross to be rejected by even those close to us. Yeah. That's the nature of taking up our cross. But what is the point, Brother Webb? The point is that while we rest on the cross of Jesus Christ and all that that represents, remember that we too need to take up our cross. We are not immune from our own crosses, so to speak. We are not immune from suffering in this life. We are not immune from evil in this life. Don't ever let us find ourselves in a situation where because things are not going our way, because we are disappointed in where I am in this stage of life, that we are going to start rejecting God. Start getting disappointed with God. I'm going to leave the church. I put it to you that anything that you truly want to accomplish, Christianity is not going to take that away from you. Amen. In fact, Christianity will help you to focus it properly. You can do things in the ministry of God. Use your talent to honor God. Amen. What are you blessed with that you think you're only going to excel in it in the secular world? You can use that in the church. Amen.
You can use that to bring honor to Almighty God. That's what this is all about. Does it come with pain? Yes, it can. But that's no reason to give up on Jesus. That's no reason to forget about the cross and the suffering that Jesus Christ went through for us. That old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. You know, the songwriter said, you know, I will cherish that old rugged cross. And I want to speak to us as Christians. When we took on Christianity, we made a pledge to hold on no matter what. And though we might falter, I want to encourage us to look back to the cross. Take it up again. Cherish it. Even if your own cross is heavy, even when it is licking you down and you're not sure if you can take one more punch and get up back, just still look to the cross. Look to Jesus. He will help us. Let me move on. Because not only do we get some disappointment with God because we fail to balance the scripture, because we want that immediate relief, because we misunderstand important texts, not only do we reject and feel disappointment with God because we just want to hold on to his cross and not take up our own cross, to receive it in submission. But sometimes we fool ourselves. What are you talking about? Sometimes we try to package things nicely. And as I serve my God, you know, we would probably coin it, you know, I can give an answer to anything and everything. And so, we do not entertain, sometimes in our good times, the fact that there are some things that are really uncertain. And there are certain things that we really cannot truly fathom. We cannot cipher it out. We cannot work it out. We can't do the maths. You know, when you did maths, you talk about equation. You know, so what is on one side of the equal sign matches the other side of the equal. But sometimes it does not equating. It now maths out. You know, how many times, you know, do we put ourselves in situations where no matter what a person presents to us, you know, we have a good answer. And these are sometimes very encouraging things, you know. You know, a person is going through a particular trouble and, you know, you'll say things like, don't fear. Yeah, don't fear, man. And, you know, you say things like, everything you want is on the other side of fear. And that's an encouraging statement, you know. You know, go bold. Don't fear. That's a nice little package statement. But when cancer is in your bone, and you don't know if there's going to be any healing, as nice as that sounds, there's going to be fear. And so, even though that is a nice package statement, sometimes those to whom we are giving it will find it very offensive. You know, here's another one that, you know, and I'm saying all of these, you know,
are things that they are really good to reflect on. But sometimes in the midst of our crisis, they are not so easy to grab onto and latch onto. Forget what's gone. Approach what still remains and look forward to what's coming next. Is that wonderful, a thought? Yeah. Because sometimes we dwell on the past and we don't appreciate what we have, you know. But sometimes in the midst of a challenge, when evil is in front of us, such statements don't really bring much comfort. You know, sometimes it's better to just move on instead of being the only one who is willing to fix things. That's a profound statement. But the person who wants that relationship that they have worked so hard for may find this repulsive. Are you saying that I should now live the rest of my life lonely? You know, and that is their challenge. And so they might not want to let go. You know, and you know, the counselors will tell you, you know, when a person is going through their grieving, try to empathize. And they'll say, well, try not to sympathize. You know, you say, boy, I understand how you're feeling. And when you say that, the person gets all tense up. You understand how I'm feeling? Was she your mother? Is it you who is not going to get this and be able to hold her anymore? How can you understand what I am feeling? And so, where I'm going, you know, I'm just picking up some things. In fact, in preparing this, I just Googled some comforting statements, and some of these came up. And the point, though, is that we can nicely gift some thoughts when things are going good. You know, and I'm so conscious and aware that I'm standing here talking to tens of persons. And the impression might be that he has it all under wraps. You know? And it may very well come back to that I face a challenge at some point, and I'm going to say, well, all of these reasons not to be disappointed with God, something might very well lick me, and I might find myself with the same type of challenge. And so sometimes we have all of these things packaged. But the truth is, brethren, that there are some uncertainties in this life. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 following, it highlights that while things are, and while we have much reassurance from Scripture, while the insights of many can be of great encouragement, there are some things that we still are not certain about. Yeah, Romans chapter 11, pick up at verse 33.
Oh, the depth of riches. Oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways.
His judgments,
and his ways past finding out.
And his ways are past finding out.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Or who hath been his counsel?
Has anybody ever found themselves in a situation where God come to them for counsel? No. Read.
Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again.
So the point is, picking up back at verse 33, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God are unsearchable. There are some things that we will never really know and understand. There are some things that we do not have the answers to. We can't always be certain because there are great uncertainties in this world. Not only are there great uncertainties in this world, but, brethren, there are gaps in our comprehension. Yeah. There are things that it's not that we cannot understand it. But at a point in time, there are gaps. We just cannot make the link. And that's just the nature of us trying to understand God and his revelation. And so everything doesn't just have a nice pat answer. And where I'm taking us is that sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we think everything just has a nice, succinct, plain, clear answer to whatever the challenge we face. But there are some things that are really just uncertain. And so we really need, brethren, to watch. We need to watch for haughtiness. What do you mean? We have to watch for how show-off we become when we are in good times. You know, we see a brother falling, and instead of lending a hand, we start criticizing because we are not there in that challenge. We see a person in pain, going through and working through an issue, and we say, look there, him not really believe in God. Because why is he struggling like that? Why is she having that challenge? But guess what? Our time might not have come yet. We don't face our own cross yet. And so we need to watch for that type of haughtiness that can sometimes come in our way. Because we cannot always be certain what will be. And even when things are in that uncertain state, we don't have the answers. And so we cry out, again referencing the martyrs of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. Why, O Lord? How long? How long? Because we do not always understand why things are the way they are. Some things, brethren, we will understand better by and by. You know, I said in a lesson a few weeks ago that one talent that I have not been blessed with is that of singing. But it took me long to realize, you know. So I used to think that I was a very good singer. But you know, I appreciate the words penned by many of these songwriters. That's so closely knitted to scripture, but they word it in profound ways that brings out so much truth. You know, and we need to recognize that in uncertainties, we should not become despondent. that when we are uncertain about things, that we can rest ourselves. And somebody said, but brother, we sound like you're going to give us one of those package things that you were talking about. That we will understand it better by and by. And so the songwriter says, by and by. When morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will be able to tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. You know the implication of that? We don't understand it right now. And that's fine. And that's what I want to leave with us. That sometimes when the evil hits us, sometimes when the suffering comes, we don't know what's really wrong with us. The doctors are trying. When suffering hits us in so many different ways and we don't understand, then we can rest assured that by and by we will understand it better. You know, it talks about trials are dark, not just on the left hand, but also on the right hand. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. You know, we want to make heaven our home. That is why Christians, we took on Christianity. We want to make heaven our home. But trials will come. And to our visiting friends, I know that you want to make heaven your home. But you are saying, boy, I don't want to start the journey. But God will help you through. Just stick to him. You know, for us as Christians, the songwriter sort of captures that. It talks about temptation. Don't we all face temptation? Yeah, we all face it. And then it talks about hidden snares. You know, some things the Bible describes how we end up sinning, the temptation and we move towards our own desires. But sometimes it's not even so much our yielding to our desires, but sometimes they are hidden snares. You know? I guess we don't do this much anymore, but I still see it in the supermarkets. I guess some people still use it. Rat trap. And you put the bait in it. But you know, one of the things, when you're setting a snare, you try to hide it. It's a hidden snare. You know, so you don't readily see it. And so sometimes the challenges that hit us, those temptations, those hidden snares, they often take us unawares. And our hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder, why the test? Why the test? I am trying to do my best. I don't have a packaged answer. I am uncertain why this thing has happened to me. I am doing my best as a child of God. But the writer continues that by and by, we'll understand it better. And so, my encouragement is that even though challenges are there, even though evil is present, even though we don't understand why this is happening to me, let us still put our trust in Almighty God. And can I leave you with that thought? It might seem, again, like one of those package statements. But we must learn truly to trust in God. In the midst of our pain, let us trust Him. We don't understand, let us still put our trust in Him. In the midst of defeat, let us trust in God. Where doubts arise, when we are in a circle, when people start causing us to even wonder, is there a God? And we'll put arguments that there is no God. Let us still trust Him. In devastating catastrophe, because many of us have grown to the point, though some haven't reached there yet, that death is just a reality. That death will come. And so we prepare ourselves to embrace it. But when death comes in a catastrophic way, it hits us. And sometimes we wonder, why the person have to go so? I didn't even get a chance to truly express to them how I feel. And that brings distraught to you. But even when catastrophe strikes, how many earthquakes we had this year? What if we were under this roof and an earthquake comes and half of us dies? Frightening. I say, what a church them there. I worship them, I worship God. How God caused the place to drop down and kill so much of them and injure so many that they'll never be able to walk again. And this plays out in the minds. Great catastrophe. But even in the midst of the tragedies like this, we need to trust in God. Trusting in God can help. When we don't understand, because what we are saying in that is that even though things are uncertain, even though I don't understand why, I'm going to trust in Him. I am going to have assurance that He's working out things for my good. What is good? We explored that last week. What we consider good might not be what God considers good. But I'm going to trust God that He's going to work it out for my best good. In the midst of uncertainties, let us trust in Him because the uncertainties are truly real. Let us take up our own cross. Yes, we might have crosses to carry. Let us take it. Let us receive it in submission. Let us not be annoyed with God. God, why are you giving this to me? Let us receive it in submission. Not that you're not going, if it is illness, it's not that you're not going to go to the doctor and try to work it through. But if this is the suffering and the evil, that's the outcome really of our own sin, let us receive it in submission. Let us trust in God. Let us recognize that it is not every trial that will bring immediate relief. Let us balance our expectation from Scripture. It's not always triumph in the presence of evil, but that sometimes it comes with suffering. But never let it be said of you. Let it never be said of me that I am disappointed with God, because God has already given us the best of best. The bestest of best gift, Jesus Christ. And if you are not a child of God, then today you can grab on to that gift of love, that gift that caused him to go to that old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, demonstration of being rejected of men. Yes, when you come to Jesus Christ, I'm not promising you that you won't have challenges. No. In fact, because you embrace him, you may leave some, you might have to give up some of your best friends. You might have to even give up your career path because it might be at pull and at variance with what God wants. But what I can assure you is that everything that happens to you because you are holding on to him will work together for your best good. And so today, you can embrace him. You can obey his commands. Come, you have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. You have heard about the cross of Calvary that he faced. Not just carried his cross, but he was nailed to it. He was lifted up, suffered pain. Not just pain, but he died. But good news, he has been resurrected, having died. And you too can get in unison with that process of death, burial, and resurrection, if you decide to make that change, if you make your allegiance to him. You know, in every one of the passages that he told us to take up the cross, take up his cross daily. If any man will, let him take his cross. In all of the references that we made, or in most of them, a prerequisite to taking up that cross is that we deny ourselves. Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to deny yourself and to confess Christ? If having heard, believed, repented, and have confessed, then all that is needed for you to get into Christ is for you to be buried in baptism. By baptism. Go under, come up. That brings you in unison with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can do that today. In fact, you can do that right now. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I will encourage you to come, even now. What's the number? 377. 377. Let us be standing as we sing.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father, along we'll know all about it. Father, along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our room so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder being so wicked here after here. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the Son. Who will understand it all by and faithful till death said, our loving Master. A few more days to labor and wait. Tolls of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. Will understand it all by and when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Amen. Please be seated. We say thanks to Brother Webb for that very informative lesson. A lesson that should have us to reflect on our own lives and to be in a position to help ourselves when we go through our trials. Peter says, count it not strange when you meet upon fiery trials. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. And he recounts the trials that Christ had gone through, and that we are not free, we are not exempt, we are not immune from trials and evil. So thanks, Brother Webb, for that lesson, and we beg that we make this lesson ours, so that when, if and when our trials come, we can go through. So again, thanks to Brother Webb for that very instructive lesson. As we continue in our worship, we will be turning to song 155, 155, 155. We ask Brother O'Neill Wilson to make the necessary comment at the Lord's table. And to assist, we ask Brother P. Peart, S. Notice, S. Gilbert, and D. Fisher. So the brothers are D. Fisher, S. Gilbert, S. Notice and P. Pair to assist Brother Wilson at the Lord's table. We sing the first stanza of 155, then the brothers will come 155. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dead rest and pass for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy is at last I'm laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for